Notice, then the apostles gathered to Jesus, and they told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before they came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 basketfuls of fragments and of the fish. And those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, open your word to us. We know your word is alive. We know that. We know that it's powerful. We know that it's you expressing yourself, Lord. And yet sometimes we are dulled. And so I pray now, God, that you would just use this time this morning to open up our senses, God, in the spirit. And that we would be receptive. God, help our minds to work. Lord, there may be some in here that are tired this morning. They haven't had the sleep that they've needed. And their brain isn't working the way it should. Lord, their bodies are not as strong as they should be. All these different thoughts are running through their mind, whatever the case might be. Lord, you're still able to break through that and minister to your flock the way you need to. And so, God, I pray you would just do that this morning as we sit at your feet to wait on our God. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we look at insufficiency, and this is a great subject for me because your pastor feels very insufficient. That's just a reality. I don't say that to be falsely humble. That's not all. No, I really do. I'm the youngest of 4 in my family, and I was always little Marky, and I was always the one who was following the sheep, not leading them. And if I didn't follow them just right, they weren't really sheep. They would be more like goats and punch me, or I should say kick me, whatever the case might be. But the bottom line is that I always have felt in my life insufficient. And I think some of us have that same struggle. Now, we don't say that to play the poor little record, we feel insufficient. But I think it's good that you know your pastor does. Because some of you out there think, probably none of you think Mark has it together. But we'll just be honest. But at the same time, some of you tend to look at me a little bit different. Think, well, he's a pastor and he always feels like, that God is, he's ready for, whatever, this kind of thing. I really don't. I do my part. I study. I pray. I seek the Lord. I do what I can. But I can tell you more often than not, I feel completely insufficient and unable to do what needs to be done, even on just a Sunday morning, much less any other time. And there's a good thing about that. The good thing about it is it causes your prayer life to really stay on track. Because if you're having to cry out every second saying, oh God, help me with the next verse, or help me with the next song because I put them on the stand wrong like I did this morning and I'm trying to change it while we're playing, knowing it's about to start and papers are flying and all that kind of stuff. When that happens, you have to realize God is sufficient. It is God's sufficiency. We prepare the best we can. We do what God has asked us to do, and God is the one that makes things happen. And I say this because I think that sometimes God chooses those of us like myself who are very insufficient so that other people watching God use them can say, well, if God can use that guy, I'm a shoo-in. I mean, this is going to happen. That's encouraging, is it not? I hate to say this, but oftentimes I think I'm more encouraged by the weaknesses I see in the men of the Bible than by their strengths. When I see their strengths, I'm intimidated. I say, wow, how did that guy do that? And wow, what an orator that guy, what a teacher that guy is. And you watch these different people. It's intimidating. What I like to see is, the frailties, the weaknesses, the reality of that they're real people, because it makes you realize God, he doesn't pick people that have their act together in every area and they're Mr. and Mrs. Smooth all the time and everything is great. He picks people that are just normal people that say, you know what, Lord, here I am. Use me. I want to be used. And God says, really? Yes, here I am. All right, I'm going to use you. And the sad thing is sometimes he makes you show up and you've done everything you know to do and you're prepared as you can be and you still feel like, Lord, where are you? God, are you going to use me? And I think sometimes God does that to test our faith. See, we're going to see that today in the disciples. They're going to be in a situation where not only are they exhausted and ready for a break from ministry, But there's going to be a great need that the people are looking to them to fill. And they're saying, I can't fill it. I don't have the resources. I can't do what it is you're wanting me to do. And what the Lord is teaching them and what he wants us to learn from this morning is, you're right. You can't. But if you will simply give it to me and just show up. Just show up and give it to me and I will do the rest. And you know what? Our insufficiencies are God's abilities. He works through that. And that's what we're going to see in this passage. Now, I know we've already said this, but some of you feel like you have so little to give and maybe nothing. You feel like you don't have really great resources. Financially, you can't give that much. Maybe you feel ability-wise, you can't give that much. Whatever the case might be, you feel that you can't do that much. What God wanted the disciples to learn is that's not the issue if you're going to be used by God in great ways. Not what you have to give, the fact that you give what you have. You know, when Moses was going down to Egypt and he was getting ready to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he'd been in the backside of the desert for 40 years watching a bunch of sheep. That's all he'd done. He felt completely inadequate to do what God had called him to do. He said, I can't go down there and do this. What do you want me to do? I mean, how can I lead the children of Israel? I mean, this is 40 years later. They didn't like me then. Why would they like me now? The Pharaoh ran me out, wanted to kill me back then. Why do you think I can do that? He said, I don't have the abilities. I don't have what it takes, God, to do this. And God said, hey, Moses, what do you got in your hand? I've got a stick. And that's about the best I can do. I got a stick. That's all you need. I want you to take that stick and go down to Egypt and I'm going to deliver a nation. What kind of God do we serve, gang? What kind of God do we serve? He said, you raise that stick up and you watch what I'm going to split an ocean that we know where they cross. It's 10 miles across. Scientists say today with the water displacement that would have needed to be displaced where the children of Israel crossed, with the depth that it is, it would have needed to be 1 mile high on both sides as they crossed. Now, think how wide it would have to be to get 2 million people across in one evening. This is a massive God we serve, and that's nothing to him. It was a stick that Moses held up. But let me ask you the question. Was it the stick? No. Was it Moses? No. It was our God. And now the next time you feel insufficient, say, God, all I have is this stick. God delivered a nation and split an ocean with a stick. Never think that he can't use what abilities you have. Man, God is a great God. And what he wants the disciples to learn here is that even the smallest offering, the smallest ability, God will use in enormous ways if we will simply give it to him. Here it is, God, I give it to you. Do what you want with it. So that's what he needs to teach them. And again, in every phase of the Lord's ministry, he was teaching them something new. And today is no different. He's going to show them that, again, they would just give him what they have, that they'll be sufficient to meet the need. Now, remember, where we saw last time, we saw, of course, the story of John the Baptist. But right before that, he had sent them off on a missions trip. And they went out and they saw the power of God in their life. God used them to reach people and they saw his power working. But that was one aspect of ministry, seeing the power of God in your life. There's another aspect, and that is when you find yourself face to face with human needs that are very real. And you don't know how you're going to meet those needs. I remember, hearing about people that they trust the Lord, they're out in the mission field and they don't have the money even for a meal, but they'll go ahead and set the table and say, we're going to trust in God to do this. And God brings the meal in by the time it's time to eat. That's learning to walk in faith by the Lord and faith with the Lord. This is what the disciples needed to learn. And guys, this is what we need to learn as well. Not just the power of God, but again, realizing that if we simply give God the resources we have, no matter how small they are, God will use them. And I want to challenge you today, even now, before we go through this, to be thinking, what resources do I have? I have very little to give. I think of the woman who put the two mites in. And God said she gave more. Jesus said she gave more than everybody. Why? Because she took the resources she had and she gave them to God. And no telling what God did. You know, we get to heaven, we'll probably find out how God multiplied those two mites. Probably going to be amazed at what God did with those two mites she put in. Some of you have just small abilities in different areas, whatever it might be. And you think, it doesn't make any difference. You know, I shared with one person one time, you know, walking down the street. That's all I've ever done. And I don't feel that I have the ability to share that good. Even that was awkward. Who knows how many churches have sprung out of that person that came to the Lord a couple of years later and then led many other people to the Lord. We don't know. We're not going to know until we get to heaven. And yet, this is what God needed the disciples to learn. This is what we need to learn. And so we take up the story today with the disciples coming back from this missions trip and God now getting ready to teach them a brand new lesson. And really, it's a lesson even in the midst of exhaustion, which is another lesson on top of a lesson. Again, the Lord used everything. And notice there in verse 30, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and they told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So they're excited. You know, Lord, we did this, we did that, and this was great. And they were obviously very busy. They had been very strenuous. And the Lord recognized they needed rest. And notice here in verse 31, he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there are many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Now, one of the things that when it comes to ministry, we have to realize is that, you know what? Sometimes we need rest. You know, they had come back from this mission trip with the Lord. They'd been serving the Lord and giving themselves of the Lord. And it may not be a mission trip. It may be just in ministry in general, whatever the case might be. Even a mom raising her children, that's ministry, ladies. I think sometimes, I've seen this over the years, you know, mom's frustrated. You know, I don't really have time to do much at the church or serve God. And I really wish I could be involved in ministry. I'm thinking, if you only knew the ministry that you're doing. You're sharpening little arrows, as the Bible says, training them up to shoot them out into the world and be a witness for Christ. If you do nothing else but keep the home and train those little ones about Jesus in the time that you do get, you know, when the needs are not so great, whether it's a verse here and a verse there, as you're walking with one in this arm and changing a diaper there and doing this, and you're thinking, how could I ever, how is this serving God? God says, you're serving me. You're training up those little ones to be used and, you know, for my glory. Even the mom needs a break. The dad needs a break. Those in ministry need breaks. You need rest from time to time. And the Lord realized they'd been working very hard. They were very busy. It was very tiring and they needed rest. And, you know, it's been said that if you don't go apart every so often, you'll simply eventually come apart. And I think oftentimes we drive ourselves till we come to that place. How many times have you seen people that have pushed themselves so much? I can tell you from the ministry aspect, I've seen people that start out with great zeal and, you know, the gun goes off and they're racing, they're running the race, they're running a full sprint. And my concern when I see someone running a full sprint in ministry is, yes, you need to go for it, but remember, this lasts a while. And if you're running full steam, we need to go full steam for the Lord, but we need to take that time where we take a break each week. And we need to take that time ever so often we just get away from everything and we're going to burn out. And I've seen believers, you know, that have done this for years and they come around and finally they say, you know what, I'm just completely burned out. And they don't do anything. They're now for the next 3, 4, 5 years, they sit around just trying to recover because they gave. So don't let me discourage you. We need to be serving. We need to step out and be about the Father's business. But we also need to recognize when we need rest and when we need to get away. And again, we need to get away from that normal business and routine. The disciples needed to do that. And the Lord knew that. And so he tells them that they need to get away. Now, it's interesting to me that it is in what is called the historical present here, which means the Lord is saying it to them as though he's saying, you still need to get away. Even today, you still need to get away, is how it would read to the disciples. Still, well, the disciples don't need to get away today. So very obviously what the Lord is saying is to us, his new disciples. You see, the Holy Spirit has written it in such a way to let us know, look, even as my disciples needed to take breaks, you need to take breaks as well. It's interesting, they were so busy, it says they didn't have time to eat. Now, it doesn't mean they didn't have time to, you know, grab something, you know, maybe at McDavid's or whatever, you know, some drive-up window type thing. What it meant was, in the normal way they ate back then, was they would sit down and make a big long meal out of it. I mean, they would have like, you'd spend a couple of hours just talking and fellowshipping and really having that time together, which is really something I wish we did in our culture today. We don't really do it very much. Maybe some of you do spend that extra time, but we're so rush, rush, rush. But they didn't have time even really to fellowship. The ministry was so busy, it's like they didn't have time, you know, to go for appetizers after the service. Or, you know, it's like, we've got more to do. We've got to keep going. And, you know, it seems like it's been that way for me recently. I find that God tends to have me in places where I'm teaching oftentimes. And I found recently, as I read this, I almost had to laugh because this is what my days have been like. They start very early. They go late into the night, even studying. It's not always that way. It's not like, oh, yeah, Pastor Mark works so much. No, I take my breaks. I get my time off and I enjoy it. But it seems like recently it's kind of been this back to back, and it's almost that feeling of you're not running your day is running you. You ever been there? You're being yanked from place to place. I like it better when I can at least set something up and say, okay, here's how the day is going to run. In ministry and serving other people, it just can't work that way sometimes. And we need to learn that. And the Lord needed to teach his disciples that. And it's more than just learning that sometimes even when we need rest, we can't have it. But to understand that, you know what? We need to meet the needs. God will give us what we need through that time. And then he'll give us rest when we need it. The rest will come. And the disciples needed all these different lessons about ministry. They needed to learn. And we need to learn as well. And that is sometimes it's so hectic. You don't have time to do the normal things of life. You know, you don't have time. I mean, you're literally going from one thing to the next just to survive. You know, you grab what sleep you can, you get up and you start the next day and you keep on going. But now that's okay for short periods of time. And the disciples are in one of those hectic cycles. Okay, we can all associate with that. But now, in the midst of those hectic cycles, there have to be times we get away. It tells us in other Gospels, again, that they did get away. We're going to see today they were hectic. They had to continue on ministering, but later on they were able to get away. And the Lord wants us to learn both lessons. Yes, we need to have the getaway time, but sometimes, even when it's hectic, we need to continue going until the work is done. And the disciples, like us, you know, they wanted that break. They're not going to get it this time. And so the Lord needs to teach them that lesson. Again, another lesson they need to learn, and this is where it's interesting to me, when God has me in the same place I'm teaching through the Scriptures, when you can associate with where they are to some degree as far as your busyness level and your schedule, I'm thinking, man, I don't have time to even talk to my kids right now. I don't have time to do anything with my wife. I don't have time to do anything right now. What is our attitude in the midst of that? See, I find that my natural attitude is, and then, you know what God wants from us? And I've noticed over the years that God allows those stints of time where it's very busy and you can't, and then it levels back off and everything's fine. But I found that in those times, I failed the test. Because when those busy times are happening, rather than being loving and caring and ministering in the love of the Lord, I find myself underneath grumbling and complaining. God doesn't want that. God would rather me not serve. If I'm going to say, yeah, well, you know, maybe this, you know, it's late and somebody wants to have another conference, and we'll do it, I don't care what time it is. He says, you know what? Call somebody else. Have them go meet him, man. Your heart's wrong. Don't even go meet him. Just tell him, say, you know what? My heart's not right right now. I can't meet with you. Could you call the pastor down at some other church or maybe go somewhere else? You know, and that's hard to do. I've never done that. Can you imagine doing that? What do you mean, Pastor Mark? What are you saying? You know, but there are times when you feel so worn out and tired, you do that. And in your heart on the inside, and God says, wait a minute, wait a minute. No, I want you to learn that, yes, there's going to be times that are hectic, but what's your heart going to be? Are you going to do it with joy? And you have to just say, you know what? I am tired, but I'm just going to show up and just, Lord, I'm going to let your joy lead me. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not going to complain. You know, when we serve the Lord, you know, in whatever the capacity might be, whether it's meeting with somebody or whether it's cleaning, no matter what the case might be, God wants our heart to be right. You know, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And I know what you're thinking. I always think the same way too. He's talking, yes, in context there. He's talking about financially and that we give, you know, with the right heart and this kind of thing. But it's not just financially. It's not limited there. Guys, he's also talking about the giving of ourselves to others. When you give of yourself to other people, how are you giving it? Well, so-and-so needs a place to stay and whatever. Well, okay, we'll take them in. They can stay with us, I guess, if they have to. If there's nobody else, we'll do it. Let somebody else do it. Because God would rather have somebody whose home is open and saying, man, we'd love to have them, than somebody who's doing it because they feel they need to for God. You ever been there? You ever been there? I need to do it, Lord, but I don't know if I have the right attitude. God says, I want you to be cheerful about it. And I really believe this. I really believe that it would be better that we don't do it than to do it and grumble. I mean, I can't imagine that. If you do it and grumble, you know, can you imagine somebody showing up? And let's say you've got a yard full of a bunch of leaves. I don't, so I can say this, and nobody will think I'm dropping hints. Sometimes as a pastor, you say things and people think, oh, you know, he needs that. No, I have no leaves in my yard. It's like one of those. Matter of fact, we chose the neighborhood for that reason. I got tired of leaves. I said, we're going to get a yard with no leaves, you know, this kind of thing. But let's say you had a yard that was full of leaves and leaves were everywhere and people showed up and they start cleaning it up. And you're like, you walk out there like, thank you. This is what a blessing. You're blowing the leaves. You're moving them. Yeah, that's all right. We thought, you know, we had some extra time. We thought we'd do it. And you're like, well, is everything okay? Yeah, everything's fine. What's wrong? Well, I was going to take my kids to the park today, but you know, I just know we really knew you needed this. Put the blower down and go to the park with your kids, okay? Because how would you feel? It may be done, but you look out there wouldn't be any joy with that. You'd say, you know what? They came and they did it. They grunted. This is awful. How do you think God feels when we say, well, I'm going to come do it. I'll do the painting day. I'll pick one we did, right? And yet the whole time we're going, I really don't want to be here. Don't come to painting day or any other day if you don't really have your heart cheerful in it. But if your heart is filled with joy, come and bebop around and have fun with everybody else. Because not only is it going to make your day better, but it's going to be a blessing to the Lord. God wants a cheerful giver. And so the disciples had to learn this. I mean, they're exhausted. They're worn out. The Lord says to them, let's go away. We're going to get a break. They're probably excited at this point. Yes, let's get away some time just to get away with the Lord. And notice verse 32. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. You know, the Sea of Galilee is a very serene lake. It's beautiful. Again, those of you that go with us, you'll see this May. When you get out on it, it's just this beautiful, just, you know, it can be horrible at times if storms are bad. But most of the time, it's this very just smooth, beautiful lake. And I can imagine them just heading off the lake thinking, finally, peace. You know, the Lord's leading us by still water, so to speak. We have rest now, and we're heading out to do this thing. And we're all by ourselves, and this is going to be a great time, thinking, finally, we get a break. Well, not so fast. Notice, but the multitude saw them departing And many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities, and they arrived before them and came together to him. Now, can you imagine this? See, and you have to understand a little bit of the layout there, geography-wise. The Sea of Galilee, you can see all the way across. If you go out in the Sea of Galilee, people can see you. No matter where you are around the lake. It's 13 miles long and about 7 or 8 miles wide, but you can see very clearly everything, the way that the Lord has designed it. It's a very easily seen lake. And so what they do is they go out in the boat, and there's all the people watching the league going, well, wait a minute, you know, you're like, the service is over. We're going to go and get a little break time, and we'll see you, you know, next service. See you Wednesday night. Great. See you Wednesday night. And they start rowing off. And the people are on the side going, I can't really wait till Wednesday night. I have a lot of needs right now. And so, well, hey, why don't we just walk around and we'll meet them on the other side? Good idea. And here they all go. And they're walking around. And the Bible says in the other gospels, this is mentioned in all of them, as they're moving around the lake, they're going to villages, hey, where are y'all going? We're going to see the Lord. He's going. And they join them. And so this group starts. By the time they get there, there's over 5,000 people waiting on them on the other side. So much for their break time. Valuable lesson for the Lord to his disciples and to us. Sometimes when we are worn out and our resources are gone, we have to trust in God to give us what we need to meet the needs of the people. Because God loves the people and God wants us to love people. And we need to be able to say, you know what, Lord, I have nothing else to give, but I'm going to show up and you work through me to give to them. God will be faithful to do it. And that's a lesson he wants each of you to learn. There's going to be times you don't feel like doing ministry. You don't think about what is ministry. Someone needs you and you don't feel like it. You know, again, we have to learn to trust in God. He wanted the disciples to learn. You've got to go deeper than yourself and let me be able to work through you in such a way. I mean, I can imagine them, you know, getting in the boat and watching them going, hey, what are they doing? They're really, and just kind of, hey, they're coming our way, or they're waiting on us. You know, and I get this picture in my mind. They've come back. They're exhausted. They have camel lag. They've traveled to different places on mission trips, all the different things they have, right? And there they are waiting. And I can imagine their mind just kind of looking at each other and thinking, you know what, why don't we just tell them to go home? You know, just, we'll see you next time. There's no time right now. We don't have the strength right now to do this. And yet we're going to see the Lord shows them, no, even when you feel exhausted, you have to give. And it's easy to minister when you're refreshed. It's a whole different story when you're tired. And we have to learn to draw on the resources of the Lord. But note this, believer, God does this on purpose in your life. He does this on purpose. He'll put you in that place where you have to go beyond yourself because he wants you to grow and he wants you to learn. I've heard other pastors talking about Pastor Chuck. I can't think of a man who could be any busier. He's a church of, I think some 75,000 people call that their church home. And I think they have some 25,000 a week that are actually there that travel through the doors, including Sunday night, you know, Wednesday night and all that, as far as in all the ministries they have going on. He's the senior pastor. Who do they want to talk to? They want to talk to Pastor Chuck, and they said he'll stand back there at the end of the service, and as long as the line is, he'll wait. It doesn't matter how long the line is. He'll wait till the last person leaves. I've heard him say he's so tired sometimes by the end of it, he's seen cross-eyed, literally. And he's in his 80s now. He still does this. And I think what a challenge that is for us, what a challenge that is for other pastors to see that, what a challenge it is for us to believers that go, well, I'm too tired, and to watch him do that. And yet, and I'm not trying to lift him up. I'm saying, what an example. This is something God has done in his life, and it's a sign of maturity, and it's something that God wants us to come to where we learn to trust in God's resources rather than our own. And so now they see them there, and they see the multitudes, and they're like, man, I can't believe it. And notice Jesus, when he came up and he saw the great multitude, no doubt they're waiting on him to say, go home. This was great. Well, you know, we'll do something tomorrow, and we'll all be refreshed. Don't worry about it. Notice what it says. The Lord was moved with compassion. And it's in a passive voice there, which means it was something that came natural. He didn't have to make himself be compassionate for them. It came natural to him to be compassionate. And that was something by the Spirit of God, again, that God will do in us as well. Notice this, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. That's why he had compassion. They needed someone to lead them. They needed someone to show them the way. And he began to teach them many things. Now, again, I notice after trying to get away and rest, the Lord sees the crowd and says, you know what? He doesn't get mad. He doesn't start to flicker the lights and drop hints. He starts ministering. And it's amazing to watch him and to know this by the power of the Spirit. You know, we talk about Pastor Chuck being a man that's exhausted. I think about Jesus. Who could be more exhausted than the Lord? You think about how long his days were. Sometimes I think about this. Your kids ever wake you up in the night? Has that ever happened, moms and dads? Think about the Lord. His kids were the disciples. They really were. They're like kids. You follow, you look what they did there. They're just like kids. And the Lord had the longest days. You measure early his days started, how late his days went, how much he was giving out. And just to lay down, I mean, he was so exhausted that in one of the storms, there's a storm. They think they're going to die. He's sleeping. Tell me he wasn't a tired man. How could you sleep in a storm that other people think you're going to die in unless you're exhausted? And so the Lord is exhausted, and I can see throughout the night the disciples go, hey, Lord, can I talk to you a minute? And when somebody says, can I talk a minute? We in ministry, you know that means 45 to an hour. I mean, that's just what, it's nothing wrong in that. You interpret. You know what it really means. Jesus knew that. Lord, can I just a minute? I'll take 5 minutes of your time, Lord. Yes, I have an hour. What is it? And they start in, and the Lord is giving and giving and pouring out. And it's the example they saw. And you know what? I guarantee you, it didn't hit them until years later. I look back now, and I see the example of other pastors that went before me and watching them, how they ministered. And I didn't have a clue what they were doing. And now I begin to see, I realize what they were doing. The disciples later on, they could look back and say, you know what? I see what Jesus was doing. And then when they were in those situations, they would be able to give in the same way. And again, I can imagine, I can admit that after, you know, ministering all day long, and I probably would have wanted to sneak away too. It's like, Lord, you know, can't we do it another time? He says, no, I want you to do it now. Have compassion on them and reach out. It's interesting, compassion here, the word literally means sacrifice from the inner parts. And guys, you know what? The word that caught my attention here in this was sacrifice. You know why? Because when we're tired and completely exhausted and find there are more needs around us, it takes a sacrifice to meet them. The word sacrifice means what? Sacrifice. If it wasn't a sacrifice, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. And so again, Jesus is teaching them, you have to sacrifice, and they're hard, but you have to make them, and something you don't naturally want to do, otherwise it wouldn't be a sacrifice. And notice in the midst of this, it says he taught them many things. I love this because almost every time you see Jesus, he's teaching the people. And the reason he's teaching them, he knows this is the greatest need of the sheep. The greatest need we have as followers of the Lord is to be taught. And there are many needs that we have, but none of them are as important as being fed. Why? Because without being fed, you die. Think about it on the physical level. There's a lot of needs you can meet for people, but if you don't give them food, you might clothe them so they're dead wearing nice clothes. You've got to feed them. That's the number one thing that has to happen. And the Lord knew that. And the Lord is feeding the disciples here and feeding those who are following him. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, you know, how much are we being fed? Are we letting the Lord feed us? If God knows that the greatest need that we have as believers is to be fed his word, the question that I had to ask myself, what is my priority on the word? And guys, what is your priority on the word? It's the greatest need that the Lord sees. And there could have been a lot of needs he could have been concerned about when he got across to the other side, but he started feeding them and started teaching them the word of God. I love it. Moved with compassion. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place. Now again, I'm with these guys again. I have to admit this. Notice, they were already tired. Now they've been ministering again all day. They say, look, this is a deserted place and already the hour's late. Send them away. You know, Lord, flick the lights. I mean, do something. You know, let them know service is over. And I love the Lord. He says that they may go into the surrounding country and the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And I love this. The Lord said to them, and I can imagine him getting eye contact saying, you give them something to eat. Wow. Me? I don't have anything left. And if I did have anything left, Lord, I don't have the resources to feed that many people. I love what Philip says. He says, you know, he says, if we had 2 denarii, it tells us in another gospel, it was Philip that said this here, but notice it said, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? It's interesting. The number 200 in scripture is the number of insufficiency. Isn't that interesting? I don't know that Philip knew that. I doubt that he knew that. I'm sure the Holy Spirit moved on his heart to say that for our sake today, but he's making the point. We are insufficient. We can't do that. You want to used to run to Kroger's and just kind of buy piles of food for all these people? It's not going to work. We're talking, you know, 5,000. It only says 5,000 men. That didn't include the women and children. There were many more thousand than this that were there. And so they're like, you know, it's been a long day. We're tired. We can't do this, Lord. Send them away. But I love the Lord because he's not only concerned about the spiritual needs, he's concerned about the physical needs as well. He says, you give them something to eat. And now making them reach beyond their own resources. And again, there may be some of you this morning, God is calling you to go beyond your own resources. And let me say this. When I said I'm busy, I'm not beyond my resources. And it's okay to talk to me and pray afterwards because I know what happens when I share this. You know, Pastor Mark, don't go to him. He's real busy. No, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm doing great. It has been a busy time, but I'm not overwhelmed. And I certainly can't compare anything to these guys. But some of you this morning probably are overwhelmed. And you don't know how you're going to have the resources to meet the needs that you have. Trust the Lord. You know, moms, maybe you think, I don't have the resources with the kids tomorrow. I'm exhausted. How can I do this? Trust the Lord. Let God take you beyond what your abilities are and watch what God does. He says, you give them something to eat. And so, again, I think oftentimes we want to say, let somebody else give them something. But God says, no, I'm asking you to do it. You're the one that's seen the need. Sometimes people will come up and say, you know, Pastor Mark, I see a real need for that or this over there. It's like, well, you know what? Maybe you see that need for a reason. Meet the need, you know? Does the church have resources for this? Yeah, oftentimes, yes, that's a good observation, and the church should use those resources. But sometimes God's saying, I want you to do something about it. You know, maybe I want you to go serve over there on a Saturday. I want you, I'm calling you. And so I think it's easy for us to pass that off. And a lot of times God is asking us to do it. And so he says that to them, but notice he said to them, I said, what? We can't do this. He said, well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. The other gospels tell us it was, remember, the little boy with the five loaves and the two fish. And when they found out, they said, five loaves and two fish. Perfect. Seven. As you know, in scripture, again, the number seven is the number of completion. I don't know they were catching all this, but again, for our sakes, the Lord is saying, whenever there's a need that's beyond your abilities, I will give you what you need to meet that need. Trust me, I will do it. And so he's saying, you just give me everything. You turn everything over to me. And you say you don't have the resources for this challenge. You give it to me. I'll give you the resources. There's nothing that the Lord can't handle. God can do it all. You know, sometimes I think, God, how is this going to work financially in whatever case it might be? And God reminds me, you know, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all right to say, God, you know, sell a few cattle. You know the needs. God will be faithful to do that. It's interesting, these loaves of bread speaks here of a flat. It's not like the kind of loaves we have today. These were flat, almost like tortillas, but thicker. They had these loaves of bread that way. They would do that way, and you could tear them apart. They were thick. You've seen some of those. And the fish they had were these little sardine-type guys. They're very small. They still make them today. They're kind of that crispy, kind of smoked type thing. And they would have them almost as snacks. You'd carry those things around. They were a good snack, like a sardine or whatever, if you like that kind of thing. And they had the bread with it, and this was this little boy's lunch. But again, the lesson that the Lord wanted them to learn is that, look, you say what you've got. Show me what you have. All I have is this stick, Lord. All I have is these five loaves and two fish. Give it to me. God wants us to learn that we take what we have, we put it in his hands, and watch what he does with it. He multiplies it and uses it for his glory. Notice what happens. Then he commanded them. He said, have them sit down on the green grass. I love that because the green grass, there's interesting. The Lord leads us, the word says, beside still waters, but he also makes us lie down in green pastures, doesn't he? He always has us lie down in a place of softness and rest and nourishment that feeds our little sheepy souls, you know? And so they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And I wonder if the disciples, I was trying to imagine this as I played it out in my mind, they thought, we're going to have them sit down, but now what? You know, we have five loaves and two fish. And in my mind, I was trying to imagine, how did the Lord make this work? Notice what it says. They sat down in ranks, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. Now, this is amazing. I tried to even imagine how it multiplied without him seeing it. I mean, how did it kind of just kind of stack up and he's handing it to him? How did this work? I don't know how it worked, but this is, it's just amazing. But here's the key. This verse really gives us the key to going beyond ourselves and meeting a need that we don't have the ability to need. Notice first thing, and if you're a note taker, here's a great one. The first thing he did was he looked up. Guys, it sounds so basic. But oftentimes, I don't know about you, but the first thing I often do when there's a need is I look around. You ever done that? There's a need here. Well, how can we, what can we do? We'll shift this. We'll move that. We'll do this. We'll have this. Wait a minute. Whoa. Back up, Mark. Let's look up first. Because when we look up, we get God's perspective and we can find out what it is that God wants us to do. So the first thing he did, he looked up toward the Father. And secondly, notice he blessed it. It literally means that he gave thanks to God for it. Notice he didn't bless the food. He blessed the giver of the food. It wasn't God blessed the food. Nothing wrong in that. I think especially depending on who's cooking, that might be a good idea. He blessed the God who gave it. He said, God, thank you, Lord, for giving this. And he gave the thanks to the Lord. So he looked up. He acknowledged God. Notice what he's doing. The first thing we have to do when we need to meet the needs around us is acknowledge God because we need God's help. We can't do it on our own. I remember hearing of a little boy who, while he was visiting an unsaved family and they were getting ready to eat, he was saved. They weren't. They didn't pray before their meal to give thanks to the Lord. And he kind of asked them, so are you guys not going to pray before the meal? And they said, no, we never pray before any meals. He said, well, you know, that's okay. He said, my dog never prays either before his meals. And so just a little boy saying the truth as it came out. But you know what? How often do we neglect to acknowledge God and say, God, thank you. You're the giver of this. Thirdly, notice the next thing. First, he looked up and then he acknowledged God for it. Thirdly, notice he broke it and he gave it back to his disciples to hand out. That is, they took the little they had, they gave it to the Lord, and the Lord multiplied it. There's the key. We give what we have. It may not seem like much. This morning, Mark, I don't have much to give. Just give what you have. Just give what you have and watch what God does with it. God says he will multiply it. And I love this because he multiplied it and made it meet the needs of the masses. And the key word here is that he gave it to them. It's in a tense that means over and over. So it's the Lord. It was in his hands. He would break it and just kept handing it to them. And I tried to imagine what this would be like. I mean, how in the world you could do that and just kind of keep coming. But the key was, is that it was in the Lord's hands. They gave it over to the Lord. And when they gave it to the Lord and it was in his hands, the needs were met. See, oftentimes we try to take things in our hands, don't we? I can make this happen. I get it in my hands. I'm a can-do kind of guy. God doesn't want can-do kind of guys. There's nothing wrong in using the gifts and the abilities you have. But God really wants the no-can-do kind of people. And he says, if you're a no-can-do guy, then give what you know can do to me and watch what I do with it. And I'll make you a can-do kind of guy. That's encouraging to those of us who feel insufficient. You may say, I don't have much to offer the Lord. Put it in the Lord's hands and watch what he does with it. And notice this, it says, so they're giving all this out and they gave it and they gave divided it among them all. So they ate and they were filled. The word literally there is glutted. They were stuffed from this bread and this fish. And I can imagine it was probably the best tasting bread and fish you could ever imagine. I mean, from God's kitchen, it was probably pretty awesome. But they were filled. They were filled to the full. And the disciples, I thought about trying to hand this out. They were walking and just probably taking buckets and pouring it, you know, on maybe some type of blankets or something. As the people would gather, I tried to imagine. It didn't tell us how they did it. But I tried to imagine they would go and think, man, we had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And now we're coming back, filling up our basket and going and dumping it. Coming back, filling up, going and dumping it. They had to almost be laughing, walking back and forth saying, how does he do this? This is amazing. But what a lesson. It shows us our God has unlimited resources. There's no limit to his resources. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, how he wants. And he wants us to learn that. He wants us to have that kind of faith and to trust him. And some of you need that this morning. You're thinking, how can this happen? How can God save my marriage? God has unlimited resources. How can God supply for our needs right now? The economy. God has unlimited resources. So what does God ask us to do? You take the little you have, you put it in my hands, and you look up to me. You watch what I'll do, and I'll bless you, and I'll use it. And so amazing. Our job is simply to get it in his hands. I think the problem is not the Lord's ability. The problem is oftentimes our ability to believe that God's going to do it. And notice, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. And those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now again, notice not only did they have enough that the Lord gave them, they had leftovers. Isn't this great? I mean, they had more at the end than when they started. Can you imagine what do we have? Only 5 loaves and 2 fish. By the time they were done, they each had their own basket full. How does God do that? I don't know how he does it. I remember as a baby Christian being challenged. Somebody saying, Mark, there's principles in the Word of God. Just obey the principles. And I remember thinking, well, there's some of the principles in the Word of God. I don't know that I can. You know, I mean, you start being challenged. I mean, at that time, I was sharing with my daughter. She asked me the other day, you know, how did you give your life to the Lord? Where were you? And I started remembering. I was in an apartment with no furniture. I had a bed. It sat on the floor. And I didn't have anything. I was single. And I didn't have anything. I mean, there was no furniture. I had enough money to rent the apartment. And I would go and just like buy cans of stuff, you know, and cook, I had like a pan, I could cook whatever. You can live on that, you know, it's amazing what you can do. You're younger and you do it and there it is. But I realized that, you know what, I never lacked. That entire time I never lacked. And I remember being challenged by someone early on. They said, Mark, if you learn to tithe right now, you'll never be without the rest of your life. And not only that, you'll end up with more than you ever thought you'd ever have. I've seen that true in my life. Never once. And I don't say this, we don't need money. I'm not making a plea. I'm making a point. This wasn't even part of my notes. I'm saying for me, I'm trying to give you a practical example. God said, if you will simply take me at my word and do what I've asked you to do, I will take it and I will multiply it and I'll do more than you ever dreamed or imagined. I have seen that in my life. Now, I'm at a new place where I think God wants to take me, and that is God wants to do it in bigger ways in ministry. Now there's things I believe that God's challenging me about, saying, you know what, Mark? I want you to take a step of faith in some areas, but Lord, where are the resources going to come from? He says, you just take a step in faith and trust me. You do what I've asked you to do. I'll make sure the resources are there. And by the time you're done, you're going to have more than you started with. I mean, these guys must have been blown away, because every time they thought, Lord, where are we going to get the resources for this? Wait a minute. Remember that time he fed 5,000 to 10,000 people and all he had was 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we just gave it to him and he prayed for it and looked up to heaven and asked God to bless it and hand it out and multiplied it? Well, do you think he can handle our situation now? Yes, I think he can. Because that's the God that we serve. It's amazing to trust in the Lord. And so as we end this today, guys, here's the challenge that I want to challenge. Do you feel that you have nothing to offer the Lord today? Nothing. There's nothing I can give the Lord. I just can't offer him anything. Take what you have. What's in your hand? Moses, what's in your hand? A stick. All right, offer it to the Lord. I don't know what that means for you. You may say, but what good is that going to do? I don't know. I don't know. Offer it. Do it as unto God and watch what he'll do. Because if you think you're insufficient for him to do anything with what you have, think again. If God can feed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he can take what you have and use it for his glory this morning. And sometimes he wants you to know your insufficiency, because that way he can teach you of his sufficiency. And this is where our part comes in. We have to believe he can and that he will take whatever we turn over to him and use it. And so the challenge for us this morning is will you do that? Will you turn it over right now? I don't know what you have. Will you turn it over to the Lord? I think God's challenging us to do that. Now, you don't have to do that. God's not going to make you, and nobody's going to know. We're not going to ask for hands. Raise your hands or stand up this morning if you're going to turn everything you have over to the Lord. We're not going to do that. This is between you and the Lord in your heart. You know what it is that God's ministering to you about right now, because there's a reason he brought you this morning. There's a reason we're in this passage. Let God minister in your heart, whatever that is, and let's ask him to do it this morning. Let's pray right now and ask him to do it. Lord, we have insufficient resources. We have insufficient abilities in every area. And yet, Lord, you ask us to simply take what we have and to give it to you so that you can use it for your glory. Lord, that's what we want to do this morning. Right now, some of us in here are feeling like that we have nothing to give. We feel very insufficient, very unable to do anything, much less, Lord, to be giving to others, whether of our time or any other resource. But Lord, you've called us to do that. And you've called us, Lord, to not trust in our own resources and not to look around, but to look up and to realize that in our insufficiency, Lord, your sufficiency is shown all the more. Lord, right now we give it to you. We take what little we have and we choose right now. For those of us in here that are choosing to do that, we choose to right now, Lord, put it in your hands. And we know that whatever we have, if we put it in your hands and choose to use it for you, that you will multiply it, Lord. You will break it, you will break us, and you will give it back in sufficient amounts to do more than we ever dreamed or imagined. Lord, let us take that step of faith this morning. Show us what it means for each of us individually, Lord, and use it for your glory. Although we are insufficient, Lord, we know that you are sufficient. And we thank you, God, and we praise you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.